Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central. And there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. Each of us is made in the image of a creative God, a God who created the stars and the planets and who created us human beings in all of our complexity. How can we tap into our creativity and use it to flourish in life instead of simply exist? Ken Weitzman joins us to tackle that topic this morning. He's an author, a speaker, and the founder of the Justice Conference. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very well. You've got a new book out, and it's got an intriguing title. It's called Create versus Copy. And I think a lot of people may think that creativity is mainly the realm of, you know, folks like writers and artists or musicians. Can you explain why that's actually a false notion?
Yeah. So artistic ability is something that a few people have, that it's a gift or a skill. But creative ability is a human trait that all people have. So we end up conflating the two. And when we see painters, like you said, when we see rock stars or those uber creative individuals, we look at them and say that they're not like me. I'm not like them. Therefore, I'm not creative. And we make comments like there's not a creative bone in my body. And that's just simply untrue. So we might not be artistic, but we're made in the image of a creative God. So we bear traces of that creativity. We are creative because we reflect the image of a creative God. And when people realize that, then they can begin to see it in all the little ways that it shows up in daily life. Nobody delegates naming their dog to somebody else. There's vacation plans we dream up. In all of our life, in day-to-day situations, we exercise that human creativity.
And yet, I think a lot of us don't realize that as you said, throughout each day, we're exercising creativity. What are some of the ways that, you know, as we go through the day, and maybe some of us are kind of stuck in a, you know, a job where we feel like, gosh, it's just repetitive, it's mind-numbing. How can we be creative in a situation like that where we just feel like, gosh, all the creativity is being robbed out of my body?
Yeah, and there certainly are jobs that are repetitive, and they really do deny that kind of creative, imaginative aspect of life. And then I think the challenge really is to make sure that we are stirring that creativity in other areas of life. It's not just jobs, but when we become adults, we find that creativity really goes down. So that when you're young, when you're imaginative, there are many different answers to questions. And when you go through standardized testing in school, there's always just one answer to every question. And it's all about uniformity and coming and getting that answer right. So we find that children really start creative or imaginative, and then we somehow mature it out of them. And so I think what we're really trying to do is recapture imagination in adulthood, regardless of what kind of job we have, so that we can connect with God. When we think there's only one answer to every problem, then when we ask God for money, or we say that we need a spouse, or whatever it is we're asking for in prayer, we really can only envision, our imagination is limited, we can only envision one answer that God would give us more money. When in actuality, if our imagination was bigger, wider, deeper, stronger, that we would somehow know that God has a lot of different ways in which he can address our needs, by bringing us different kinds of fellowship, by providing different kinds of opportunity that erase the need for money. And so really what we're trying to do is just grow imagination in life and see how that's used in the pursuit of God.
Now, you say that there are two kinds of people in the world, those who create and those who copy. Can you flesh out that notion for us?
Yeah, create versus copy was something I was thinking about one day when it occurred to me that there really are two kinds of people, those who create and those who copy. And the interesting application of that is that those who copy are always going to follow where others have blazed a trail. They're always going to go where something has already been done. And so from a leadership standpoint, it means that they're never going to be at the front edge of leadership. They're always going to be following somebody else. And so I used to play with it just at that leadership level. And then I began to just kind of take it as a overarching thing for life, that there are people that have a creative mindset and people that don't. And we're certainly not saying that all copying is bad. We learn by copying. We use templates. We pursue best practices. We learn from one another. So there's certainly an element in which we borrow from other people. But the idea is we should be looking to take all of those different things in a creative mindset, one that believes in possibility, and apply that going forward through that creative lens. So it's really the mindset of being creative versus a small kind of ceiling, enclosed mindset that really believes all I can do is copy or repeat. And so that's kind of what the book Create versus Copy was hoping to try and do for people, was just awaken them to that creative possibility.
Now, you talk about developing a theology of creativity. What does that look like, and how can it shape our lives?
Yeah, we talk about a lot of subjects, and I think we usually start with them thinking of ourselves first. So what does creativity mean to me, or very utilitarian, what can I get from creativity? And we don't always look at things theologically first. So when I talk about justice and I talk about a theology of justice, I'm really saying I want to look at justice, but I want to do it from an understanding of God first, and then with the arrow going down to the subject of justice. When I say a theology of creativity, it's the same thing. I want to look at creativity, but I want to do it in light of my understanding of God. And so there's three elements that I kind of pulled out in Create versus Copy. And the first one is just simply, we're creative because we were made in the image of a creative God. The second one is that God created in the past, but is creating and will create. So often we think that God, created the heavens and the earth, period, and then everything's just like a watch. It's been wound up and it's just going. And Isaiah tells us that God himself says, I created the blacksmith who creates the weapons of war, meaning you're afraid of these weapons of war. You're living with this fear of danger, but I'm sovereign over, I'm in control over, because I created the person that created those things. And so it's a really fascinating thing. I created the banker who holds your loan. I created your enemy who you're living in apprehension of. And it's just kind of a way of God saying, I'm still actively involved in this world, creating things and making them good. And then God will create the new heavens and the new earth. So this ongoing creative energy of God is the second part of that theology. And then lastly, when God first went to make man, the first act of creativity was to make space for life. So God wanted people that men and women that he could be in relationship with. And so he separated the light from the dark, the earth from the sea, and basically made space for life to flourish. And so much like a painter who stretches a blank canvas before they paint, the first creative act is always creating the space in which life can flourish. And there's a real strong connection at this point between creativity and justice, that our generous creativity, our ongoing energy in this world, would actually make space for life to flourish and be in shalom the way God intended.
We're talking to Ken Weitzma. He has written a new book called Create versus Copy. We'll talk more about that with Ken in just a moment here on the Faith Radio Network. Well, good morning and welcome back. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer with my special guest, Ken Weitzma. He has a new book out called Create versus Copy. And Ken, we were talking before about the person who might be stuck in a dead-end job. Let's talk to the mom who might be listening today. And she is, facing another pile of laundry or another sink full of dirty dishes. And she may be thinking, who has room for creativity? I'm spending all my energy just surviving. What would you say to her?
I'd say two things. One, she's probably being more creative than she realizes already. So every scraped knee, every challenge in the home, every argument that she tries to resolve uses human creativity. And so just to navigate the complexities of daily life taps into an element of that human creativity. And then when someone realizes that, they can begin to be excited about using that creativity to to create and shape culture in a different way with their kids, to make memories in different ways. So one would just be to say that they're already using that creativity. The second one, I think it's a little bit more germane, is that if we're made in the image of a creative God and we too are creative, then in some ways we're never closer to the image of God in us than when we're actively creating something. We're never closer to the image of God in us than when we're actively creating something. And that's why when we're in really dull jobs, repetitious jobs, or a mom who's got kids and is just really weighed down, and there's no creative outlet, we really do feel robbed of something. And so I think that's a real issue. And so that's where I would simply say, as husband and wife, or if it's a single mom, sitting down and beginning to be creative with the schedule and to say, how can I take some community ed classes on a Saturday? Could I line up childcare? Could I bring some of my kids with me? Could we go ride horses? What could we do? Could we take nature walks and find pictures to put on Instagram? What could we do that just begins to put into the calendar creative outlets that allow me to be, as a mom or as a dad, whatever it may be, to begin to exercise more of that human creativity? And ironically, what you're going to find is that creativity begets creativity. And so by even adding a little bit back into our lives, we tend to find that it becomes easier and easier to add more into our lives.
That's a great challenge for anyone who's listening right now who may feel stuck. Let's talk about change for a moment, Ken, because you addressed this in your book. All of us are going to face unwanted change at some point in our lives. How does God want us to respond to those situations?
Yeah, so let me tell you about a little study that I wrote into the book that's been out there and used in different ways. But it was a study that was done on kindergartners and testing them for divergent thinking. And basically, the test is simply, here's a paperclip. How many different uses are there for a paperclip, right? And the average person would come up with a dozen or two dozen. But somebody that comes up with over 100, like what if this paperclip was really big and you could string them together and make a chain for an anchor out of it? What if the paperclip floated? What if the paperclip could fly? You know, but really envisioning a lot of different possibilities. And if you can come up with 100 plus different answers for how to use a paperclip, you're in what's called a genius category. And this group of kindergartners, 98% of them scored in the genius category. And the interesting thing was it's a longitudinal study, which means the same group of people looked at over time. And so 5 years later, that same group of kindergartners was given the same test, and only half as many scored at the genius level. 5 years later, when they're age 15, given the test again, and again, half the previous number. And so it was really that kind of movement to show how as we grow kids up, we seem to push out imagination. And what I'd simply say is there's something really profound about imagination and change, that when we don't have an imagination, all we see is with our eyes what could go wrong. Or that it's changing our status quo, and we react with fear. We try to control it, and it's a very challenging thing. By the way, fear and anxiety kills creativity. The opposite of the spectrum is faith, that when we realize that God can be doing a lot of things through this change, that this change might be the very answer to the prayers that I've been praying about being realigned in life, or God getting me to where I need to go, when we have a sense of possibility, then we come into it with eyes wide open, with hands out in front, with a cautious optimism. And we find, again, that creativity is actually something that goes hand in hand with faith. And so I think there's a part to this pursuit of God where we really are able to tackle change, even the scary parts, realizing that change is always an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives.
Wow, that is a great challenge for every one of us. And I'm sure there are many people listening right now who have experienced some unwanted change, and perhaps they are feeling a sense of anxiety and worry. What does the future hold? How do we grab on to that faith? How do we trust when it just seems like God maybe has abandoned us?
Yeah, the hiddenness of God. you know, that's such a deep theological question. Is, you know, the psalmist prays this over and over. Jesus even prayed the Psalms, which prayed this aspect of kind of our relationship with God. But so I think when we read the Psalms, we're taught that this is a part of life. But the interesting pattern that happens in the Psalms over and over and over again is life is really bad. My enemies are around me. I'm in the pit. God, why have you abandoned me? Why do you seem so far from me? That's the hiddenness part. How come I feel so alone in this? And then the third part in so many of the Psalms is this return to faith, which is kind of the refrain, yet I will trust in you. You are my rock and my redeemer. You're my savior. And so, again, faith really has this sense that it transcends my immediate experience and grabs hold of a truth, a metaphysical truth, a spiritual truth that's bigger and broader and deeper than my emotional state right now. And so, again, that requires imagination to look at your life in the past and to see where God used to work, to envision different ways that he could work, and to realize that all of those are beyond your imagination even. And then the ability to say, well, if that's the case, then I'm gonna still hang on and walk forward in faith and in trust that God at some point in time will move in my life again. And so I think that's really the biblical pattern. We want things quick now. We want God to take care of us immediately, that kind of sense of American individualism. And that's just not the faith that we see expressed in the Bible. So I think imagination, I think creativity is one of the ways that we can move forward, believing that God can and will work again. And in the meantime, also allowing us to see different ways that our human ingenuity and our own wisdom can navigate some of the complexities of life in the meantime.
Great thoughts. The book is called Create Versus Copy. The author is Ken Weitzma. Ken, thanks so much for your time today, and may God continue to guide you and direct you in your work.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.